Check, 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 check sound. Check satu, check dua, check tiga.
Do we start now?
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Welcome to my new podcast. Hi, everyone. I know you're hearing a foreign voice right here. It's not the usual Giovanni Wijaya, but we have another Wijaya, and that is me, Agatha Wijaya. Actually, I'm Giovanni's twin sister, and I'm here to interview him today. So during today's session, we're going to get to know Giovanni inside out, the man behind my new podcast. So, hi, Giovanni.
Hello.
How are you feeling today?
I'm okay. What about you, Agatha?
I'm feeling great. So, how do you feel about me interviewing you today?
It's an interesting experience, you know, getting interviewed by your twin sister.
Yeah.
While being interrogated daily at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, nothing new.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the background, guys. I actually met Giovanni in year one when I was still in Yusof back then. And we made friends with each other because we're both Indonesians. Oh no, I mean, we're siblings.
How did you forget your own best stories, yeah? We are siblings, bro.
but for real. We met when we were in year one and then we had our little Indonesian group. Yeah. So, shall we start?
Yes.
Okay. So, Giovanni, I have a few topics that I want to cover today. So,
yes.
First one will be just general introduction. So, what's your name?
I'm Giovanni.
Do you prefer people to call you Gio or Gio?
I don't have a preference. I feel like most Indonesians will call me Gio. Most Singaporeans will call me Gio.
Yeah, that's why. It's so weird when I hear people say Gio. Because yeah. I call you Gio.
I mean, I also got used to it lah.
Yeah, that's true. So, how old are you this year, Giovanni?
I'm 21.
Okay, that's nice. What do you study?
Chemical engineering.
How is it?
Interesting. But, I mean, it's hard lah. But it's interesting at the end.
By the way, guys, Giovanni is damn smart, okay?
No, he's, you lah, Gata. You are kept higher than mine, what?
But you are so bright. You're actually a genius, honestly.
No, you.
No.
No, you didn't.
Okay. So, apart from Camp Ench, what are you usually busy with these days?
Sleeping,
no way. You're always busy, Gio. You're always outside doing something with someone.
I'm sleeping on my own lah. That's what I do most of the time.
There was one time on a Sunday, I asked, where are you? Then you were outside. At a very odd timing.
What odd timing?
Like 3 p.m. Is that an odd timing? No.
No. That's a normal time to be out.
Yeah, but you're always busy doing something with everyone. You're literally friends with everyone, Gio.
You lah. What the hell?
I literally have one friend and it's only Kevin.
Friend, huh?
Yeah, I have one friend.
Okay, so do you not consider me a friend? Or are we just siblings?
Both. More siblings.
So you see me just as a little brother to you, lah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not busy with anything in hall. You literally join everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only in two things now. I'm in band and Yusofvox audio. So for those of you who don't know what the hell Yusofvox is, Yusofvox is Yusof Hall's Media and Publicity, CCA. So all the promotion videos you see, most of them go through Yusofvox, like from recording to editing and even sometimes publishing. So we have divisions also. So as an audio member, I usually handle live events in hall. Like, let's say live event, we need to mic someone up. Or we need to play a song. Then sometimes we go there, we go to the mixer, we push buttons, sliders, and go home. That's what we do. And I think for band, it's quite obvious what I do. Lah. If you don't know how the hell band works, you can go listen to season 1, episode 2, season 1, episode 3, season 2, episode 3.
Wow.
Then you can go to season 2, episode 6, season 2, episode 7, and last but not least, season 3, episode 1 and 2. So yeah, go check it out. Then you understand how band works.
Seems like you have a pattern of inviting band people into this podcast.
It'd be like that. See, that's the thing. I don't know everyone. I only know band people and a few other friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why whatever I do, I end up inviting band people.
Okay. And what band are you in now?
I mean, this band called The Overlaps.
Mm. So what genre do y'all do?
That's a good question.
You never know. You never know.
Exactly. The thing about Overlaps is we don't even think of ourselves as confined to a genre. We literally do everything. Okay, so you know the Piazza in the previous episode, right? Uh-huh. Lee, he once said to me in band practice that what we're doing is literally the three corners of his musical preferences.
Okay, so you guys do whatever you guys want?
Yeah, because like, all the members are OP enough to do whatever they want.
Damn.
I guess, except me though.
No, you're literally the... I've heard from many people that you're the most talented pianist in the whole of Yusuf.
No la, not anymore. Hey, Liu, if you're listening to this, you're the most talented pianist in Yusuf right now. I wish I'm in YST also, but YST reject me. So, yes.
Speaking of YST, aren't you taking a minor in YST or something?
I'm not. I got rejected.
But weren't you taking modules on audio engineering and all that? Or was that just out of your own interest?
The audio engineering module isn't even from YST. It's a design your own module.
Oh, oops.
But I do take other modules from YST. Like, I took stuff about history of art, history of piano, jazz, sonic environment, and a few other things.
You know, that's really interesting. How are you so versatile and you can do engineering and music at the same time? Which one do you prefer more? That's honest answers only.
That's a good question. I mean, like, I guess I prefer music because that's what I'm more experienced with. Like, think about it. As a chemical engineer, I can't really chemical engineer my way at like primary school, right? Because if I mess up, then what happens? An entire place within a 100-kilometer radius will be gone. Right.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be chemical engineering. It can be like basics, you know, like physics and all that. It doesn't have to be chemical engineering. Like, it starts from a young age.
Yeah. I mean, like in school, you learn like pure sciences, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, pure sciences, I joined a few competitions. Then sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. But that's about it. And I guess I can say the same thing about music also. But the thing about music is, I've practically done the same thing ever since, let's say, even before primary school. I've done, like, let's say, playing piano since primary school or even before. And I still play piano now.
Yeah.
But engineering is different. Like, yeah, sure. Back in primary school, I know what stoichiometry is, for example. But now I'm applying it differently than how I applied it in primary school. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why I think it's not exactly the same thing. Like, I do actual engineering only in uni, but I do actual music a long time ago.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So would you say that makes you passionate about music?
I guess, yeah. I mean, like, I have more exposure to it. Now I'm developing my passion for engineering too, I guess. Maybe in 15 years or so, that I will have the same passion for engineering than I do for music now. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Hey, if you're a Gio, if you're listening to this 15 years from now, let us know. Oh yeah, you should come back in 2038 just in case you forget what year you are in.
Okay. So, then with that, what do you see yourself doing in Gio 2038? Like, would you be in the music industry or would you be somewhere in a chemical plant, in a lab?
Hmm. Oh, that's a good question.
Or maybe what do you want?
I don't know what I want. I mean, like, the thing is, I'm not even taking internship yet. I haven't, like, taken up an actual engineer job, you know?
Yeah.
No, actually, never mind. I've actually taken an engineer job, but it's audio engineer, not chemical engineer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how chemical engineer will look like. And maybe after I finish interning, then I may have a better answer to the question. Mm-hmm. Now, I generally don't have any answer to that question. I don't know yet. Maybe I'll do both like now. I chemical engineer from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Then I audio engineer from 4 p.m. to midnight, something like that.
Oh. You know? Okay.
Speaking of internship, right? So, you're interning in Shell now, right?
Yes.
I'm going there next time. Do you have any tips for me?
Really? Oh my god. Which department?
Process tech.
Okay. I'm actually in a different department, but process tech is also a really good department. And there are a lot of competent people in there. And I'm pretty sure you'll be in good hands.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's a really good company, honestly.
Yeah.
Really good work culture.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And really good ferry trip also.
Oh, of course. So basically, where I work at right now is in an island called Pulau Bukom, south of Pasir Panjang. So every morning, I have to take the ferry to this bloody island. 20-minute ride. And you know, it's like a small ferry, and the waves are pretty huge sometimes. So you keep like going up and down and all that. So you have to get ready.
It prepares you to go to Bintan, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, a bit different, but... But it's fun, it's fun. It's a nice island. Yeah.
With nice people also.
Yeah, really. You'll be in good hands. You will have a lot of exposure over there.
Oh, nice, nice. Thank you so much for the information.
Yeah, and I'm glad you got in.
Thanks. I also didn't expect to get in. I got my acceptance like a few days after the interview. Mm-hmm. Well, I know some of my friends get like 15 minutes after. So
yeah. Who interviewed you? Da Ching.
Yeah, of course. Who else?
Da Man. Da Ching, Da Man.
Hey, Da Ching. I want to give you a shout out for basically carrying the entire show recruitment process. I appreciate you and thank you for accepting me into this role.
You think he'll be listening to this podcast?
I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, like, I did say I run a podcast during my interview.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, if not, maybe I will show this episode to Da Ching, you know? Like showing him, hey,
yeah.
You know, these are two show interns doing a podcast together, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think Da Ching knows me, but I know him. I've seen him around. Seems like a chill guy. And I've heard good things about him from the other interns.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Wait,
Did
you not get interviewed by Da Ching also?
No. Because I'm in another department.
Oh, right. Because as far as I know, Da Ching interviews everyone. Like even that's why
under technologies. I think it's under technologies only.
Ah, interesting.
But I'm under MMI. It's a different department.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, let's backtrack a bit. Mm-hmm. This is something I'm always interested in knowing, especially with all the foreign students in Singapore.
Uh-huh.
So tell us your journey of how you ended up in this country. Why? Why did you come to this country? Why did you come to this university?
Wow. That's a long time back.
That's not too long ago. That's like 3 years ago, Joe.
Fair. But 3 years ago, a bit long also for me. Maybe my memory a bit like that. But yeah, I applied to quite a lot of places. When I was looking for uni, and after I applied overseas, then COVID hits law.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, I had to roll out quite a few unis because
maybe you can list out what unis you applied to.
Well, I think that's a bit too personal.
Oh, okay.
But
no pressure. Like, no pressure.
If you've been listening to the podcast, then you'll know one of them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. So, I applied to a lot. I rejected a lot because of COVID conditions. I mean, like, it's not very ideal to, let's say, go to US or UK in the middle of 2020 because COVID is a bit bad, you know, and all the classes are online anyway for a year. And it's mostly the same tuition fee as if I go there directly. So, not very economically viable decision. So eventually it came to like a few that I need to decide. And US just suddenly sent me an acceptance letter. So I thought like, wow, Singapore is in person. COVID is not very bad. And yeah, so
but
I think that's what I took it.
There's always an option to stay back home. Why didn't you take that option?
You mean take a gap year?
No, as in, why not go to a university in Indo?
Oh, like local uni?
Yeah.
Oh. Because I went to international school.
Oh, is it? Oh,
then I took A-levels.
Yeah. So does that make it harder? I don't know how the system works.
I mean, there are schools that accept A-levels, but it's not exactly the qualification you can submit to a lot of places. Like some public unis, like, of course, Universitas Indonesia or Universitas Gajah Mada have international programs that you can use your A-level to apply to. But at that time, I didn't even think of it. Like, I mean, like, who thought that this thing called SARS-CoV-2 will go outside of China, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't apply. But some of my friends applied, then they got in, but I did not. So, honestly speaking, my choices are only unis abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that time also, Ujian Nasional got cancelled, so a bit harder, right, to apply locally also, even if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be like that.
So, are you happy when you got accepted into NUS?
I mean, I'm neutral, which is how I feel with most of my unis. I only have like 3 dream unis, and NUS is not one of them. It's just like something that I want to try. Can I get into NUS? Then turns out the answer is yes.
Yeah. But hey, you had fun, right? Especially because of NUS, you managed to get into USOF. Yes.
I mean, I guess. Not like if I go to other uni, I can get to USOF in the first place.
Okay. Yeah, so did you take the UEE?
Yeah, I did.
So that's the standard way of getting into NUS, is it? For foreign students?
Wait, UEE as in...
Is it called UEE? The entrance exam?
Oh, the entrance exam. Oh, wait, never mind. I didn't take UEE because I had A-levels. I think UEE is like if you have local qualifications in 3 countries only, which is Indonesia, Vietnam, and one more I forgot.
Okay.
But I took A-levels and they recognize it. I just get in.
Damn, okay. Wow, that's nice. So, but how did you adapt though when you first came? Tell us about your first day. You probably remember how your first day went down.
Oh, wow. Like first day in NUS or first day in Singapore?
First day in Singapore.
In Singapore, oh. I took a midnight flight to Singapore. I think I reached like around 11:25 PM, something like that. Then the airport was very, very, very not crowded. Like which is how all airports during COVID era was like. But you can see the lack of people.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Us coming down from the plane like a cloud. No, not like that also.
You're probably like the only 3 people inside that plane.
No. The plane has like, I don't know, at least like 30 people.
Oh, okay.
But we are one of the 30 clowns that decided to go to Singapore in the middle of July.
Yeah.
Like that. Then we went to immigration. They laid out those, you know, red plastic chairs for us to sit in.
Oh my God. The flashbacks.
Then I think around that time, I got into some misunderstanding about what forms I need to fill and what forms I'm supposed to fill before that. Then I realized that, oh, you know what? I don't actually have to go to a few of the sets of plastic chairs. I can just like go to one and then go straight to the immigration counters. But also the thing is, the immigration counters are not all open. There were only like, I don't know, man, 1 or 2 counters that were open that time. So it was quite a long queue. It was like 10 people in front of me. And so I remember I officially entered Singapore at 00:06 the next day.
Wow. Wait, when did you come? In July?
In July, yeah.
And school only starts in August, right?
Yeah.
Wait, was that deliberate? Like you actually just wanted to like hang around for like 2 weeks?
2 weeks?
Yeah, because you came in the middle of July, right?
I mean, like, we have stay home notice, what?
Oh, right.
So, okay. I have to stay there for 2 weeks.
It was 2 weeks.
Yeah,
oh
it was 2 weeks.
Oh my God. Wait, which hotel do you go to?
V Hotel Lavender.
Okay.
I'm still jealous that you got a better hotel.
I went to Shangri-La, guys, at Sentosa.
Sheesh.
I got a sea view. What view do you have, Gio?
The opposite hotel room.
I mean, a lot of people got V Hotel. I was lucky.
I mean, at least I don't get like some ulu hotel in Tiong Bahru.
There are people who get those kind of hotels.
I mean, I've heard I don't know what hotel it is until now, but I've just heard like, oh yeah, some people went to Tiong Bahru and they don't even know what the hotel name is.
My God. Okay, so back to your first day in Singapore. So that was the first 2 weeks. Okay, it was spent doing SHN, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any Singaporean friends before you came to Singapore?
No.
No, so it was your first time. But you've been to Singapore before that,
I've been
right?
to Singapore lots of times. Even I was in Singapore in February 2020.
Oh, okay.
And if you listen to my new podcast, you'll know why.
Which episode? I listened to some episodes, not all.
Well, I forgot which episode.
It's okay.
This is like the big story I've been telling everyone in the podcast. I went to Singapore in February 2020.
Okay, but what happened? Maybe just crash course.
I auditioned to go to a certain music college.
In Singapore? Or not overseas? Like
the music college is not in Singapore, but the audition was in Singapore.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I think I know.
Oh, yeah. It was in season 2, episode 3, I think.
Damn, you know which
Wait,
episode?
Wait, no, 2. Episode 2.
Okay. So, how was adapting though? Like, especially being in a foreign country. It's your first time studying abroad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, dude, I remember my first time coming to Singapore. Especially I came from like a small city in Indonesia. It's not even like Jakarta. It's like an hour or two away from Jakarta. So when I first came to Singapore, I came from a small school in Indonesia with only 3 people inside my class. 3 people in my batch. And coming to Singapore and the first day, I had 40 people inside my class. So that was a bit of a culture shock. And then there's Singlish. People talk so fast. So how do you even... I don't know. Like, don't you think people are weird when you first came?
Nah. I don't think people are weird.
They're not like, weird, probably, but like it's difficult to understand.
Yeah. Of course. It took like quite a while for me to adapt also. I think like, because I went to international school, then confirm my classmates will sometimes do Singlish impression. So I'm a bit used to it, but not as much. And then slowly, as I stay here, then I hear people, I try to understand what the hell they're talking about. You know, trying to understand what the hell, let's say, SAJC stands for.
Mm-hmm. Why? St. Andrews Junior College?
Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't know what
Okay. Like the acronyms that they use and all that.
Yeah. Because okay. It's like, oh yeah, I'm from what, SAJC?
Yeah,
BJC.
Then you're like, am I supposed to know?
Then, during like my first month or so, every time I talk to my friends, like, then they mentioned this, then I asked them, hey, what's SAJC? And then they was like, oh yeah, St. Andrews Junior College, and then continue. I don't know if they're annoyed at me, but I hope not.
No lah. They know that you won't know. I mean, who would know?
Yeah, understandable. I mean, like, also that time, I sound different enough from the rest of the whole population to a point where every time I meet people, they will ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, even though you only stay here for 3 years, but you nailed the intonation. Like, the way you speak, you sound quite Singaporean. Even though maybe the accent is not fully Singaporean, right? But the way you pronounce... No, the... I don't know, like the intonation, you know? Like, no.
Thanks.
It's. Yeah. And it's cool. Like, you adapt so fast. Not a lot of Indonesians can do that.
Wow, thanks. Oh no, man. I feel like I'm just too exposed to Singlish as of the past 3 years to a point where now I basically speak in Singlish whenever I'm in Singapore.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I ask different people and they will say different stuff. Like, there's this Malaysian Freshie, right? Mm-hmm. I talked to her like earlier this year for 20 minutes. Then she told me my Singlish is awkward.
I mean, maybe the accent is not there, but the intonation is there. Like when the way you emphasize things.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, at this point, half of the people that I know from the past like year or so cannot tell that I'm not a Singaporean.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the time, even when they think I'm not Singaporean, they think I'm Chinese.
Wait, are you not?
I mean, like, I'm not Chinese by nationality.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we are not Chinese by nationality. What?
Yeah, I'm not, but your race is Chinese, isn't it?
I'm half Chinese, yes.
But yeah.
Doesn't mean I have a Chinese accent, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I'm not from China.
Yeah, I know. But your race is Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I am.
But I think one of the reasons why your accent or like, you managed to adapt and have a somewhat Singaporean accent because you are friends with a lot of Singaporeans, which is something that I notice is not very common among foreign students. And I really admire you for that.
Oh, thanks. I feel like it depends on batch also. Some people are more welcome to meeting non-Indonesian friends. Let's say from Indonesia, then some people are like hermits, they just want to talk to Indonesians. They come here to meet other Indonesians. Yeah. But some people, they come here and they try to, well, talk to non-Indonesians, talk to Singaporeans, or even like international students from other places in the world. But for me, I don't even actually think about it. I just like, oh yeah, this is someone who, you know, wants to talk to me, then I talk to them.
Yeah.
That's all. I don't even care about where they are actually from. But I know some people actually care about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. But I think it's also because you came from an international school.
Probably that.
Yeah.
So it's something that, I mean, I'm used to it. But on the other hand, I do know some people who did not have a very good experience during their EHOC or ESOP Hall orientation camp. So, because they're international students, sometimes like they are the butt end of jokes. And so, they become a hermit lah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a good first impression of Yusof, right?
Yeah.
Then how are they expected to want to make new friends, right?
Yeah. I totally get it though. Because it's difficult to understand jokes and references. And then it's just difficult to click with people. And I would say like hall culture is very Singaporean, if that makes sense.
It's mostly Singaporean. How can it not be Singaporean culture, right?
Yeah. So that's why it's pretty cool that you managed to blend right in and you love hall so much.
Wow, thanks. I remember, was it you? You said that Indonesians and Singaporeans actually joke quite differently.
Yes, they do. They have very different sense of humor. And I don't know. I'm glad that we can understand both. I don't know. Like, I feel like Indonesians are unintentionally funny.
Like, okay.
Yeah. But maybe Singaporeans too. It's just very different.
I see. I mean, like, Singaporeans are not the type of people who will call capybara mas bro and find it funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why when I first came to Singapore as well, it was difficult for me to laugh. Like, when my classmates laugh at a certain joke, I couldn't catch on, you know. I had to force myself to laugh until I actually found it funny. And now I actually laugh at these kind of things.
Nice. I haven't got to the stage yet. Sometimes my friends are like, okay.
Like, just fake it till you make it. And it's actually funny.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. So just laugh. but I really get it though. It's tough, lies. And you are in a totally new environment. And then you are put into hall where people are so loud. People are so, I don't know, very Singaporean, like, basically.
Yeah.
No. As in, not loud equals Singaporean, but like, they are very extroverted. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. Like, I think the main reason people go to hall is to make new friends, right?
Mm.
Or join CCAs.
Yeah.
Like, especially if they are Singaporean. So confirm all the people in hall are extroverts, right?
Yeah.
If you think about it. But maybe that's not the case for international students. I know international students who talk to only a few people. I also know international students who join a lot of things, know a lot of people to a point where their points are enough to stay on.
Mm-hmm.
And like exceed that point as well by, I don't know, 20% or something like that.
Yeah. It's nice to see that you're willing to get out of your comfort zone. Because honestly, I felt, even when I went for my exchange in Finland, right? I had a group of Singaporean friends. I had all the opportunity to make friends with people from many different countries. But then I was quite comfortable with my own circle of Singaporean friends. So I ended up hanging out with the Singaporeans more than I do with like my Spanish, French neighbors and all that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even though they draw you to hang out.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, because they have their own group of friends. Then that's what I noticed when I was on exchange. Like, the Spanish will hang out with the Spanish, Singaporeans will hang out with the Singaporeans. Yeah, so people are always cliquish in that sense. So I think it makes sense when I see Indonesians only hang out with Indonesians in NUS.
Yeah. It's a very understandable phenomenon.
Yeah, but it would have been nice if everyone could just make friends with each other.
Mm.
I mean, you are a living proof that it does happen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There are better examples in yourself, just saying.
Like? Hello, everyone. Wait, my mic. Sorry, I was talking without my mic. Hi, everyone. Welcome to my new podcast. We basically just had a few minutes of discussion on who these people are. Examples of foreign students who adapted very well into Yusof Hall. And it's really nice to hear. It really changed my view because I always thought that it's difficult for foreign students to integrate themselves into the...
So you thought you're special, lah?
No. I don't consider myself... As in... I don't know how to say. You know, it's different when someone has been here their whole life versus someone who just came in university. Obviously, then it will be a lot easier for me. Right?
Fair.
Because I literally have like 3 Indonesian friends. And the rest of my friends are all Singaporeans. So it's way easier for me than it is for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the insight.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was always just wondering... So yeah, it's nice to see that there are more people like Giovanni in Yusof Hall.
Yeah, it's nice to see it for me too.
Then do you enjoy Singapore more or Indonesia more?
Wow.
There are many aspects to this question.
Exactly. I don't know. What I usually say to my friends is, if you ask me for the next 10 years, maybe I will enjoy Singapore more. For the next 50 years, maybe Indonesia.
Right. I feel you. I want to retire back in Indo.
Why? I'm curious now.
It's so santai there, bro.
negara nomor satu tersantui dunia ya.
Yeah. For real. Even though I love Singapore with all my heart, but no chill sometimes. It's really like...
I mean like, you know how they say Singaporean stereotype is being kiasu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. But I like the drive that they have.
The kiasuness they have lah.
Yeah, the drive. Not kiasu, the drive.
Isn't those it like pretty similar things?
Yeah. But let's put it in a positive way, okay? I like the drive that they have. Okay, I'm pretty sure we have kiasuness also. We adapted this kind of mentality.
Of course.
Which is not a bad thing sometimes. Like, you're always, I don't know, aiming for more. So good for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how? So in 50 years, you will say Indonesia, but... In the near future, Singapore. Why? Because of career prospects? Because of money? Safety?
I would say it's just where both countries are headed. As we all know, Singapore is a very small island nation. We import a lot of our needs from overseas. Like, we import water from Malaysia, oil from literally a lot of countries, land from Indonesia, and
chicken from Malaysia.
Oh, yeah. Malaysia. Pork from Indonesia. So on and so forth. But maybe the next 10 years, it's still something sustainable. Maybe in 10 years, the effects of whatever global trade or something will not get to Singapore yet. And all the development, the economic development, the infrastructure development, whatever things the government has put in place, will still be in place.
Yeah.
But 50 years from now, maybe there's a different story. I mean, what happens if the world goes to war, right?
Mm-hmm.
We never know. Yeah. There are like, I don't know, at least like 6 wars going on in different places of the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of them become like a global issue, which I hope it doesn't, but
yeah,
where will Singapore be? Will Singapore even exist as a sovereign country? I mean, like, you see, our approach to international relations is we stay neutral in every single conflict, but can we afford to stay neutral like whatever the hell Swiss has been doing for the past, I don't know, hundreds of years? Can we afford to do that? Can we not take sides if, let's say, some other ASEAN countries go to war?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a very improbable outcome, I mean, like, at least, like, 2 or 3 Southeast Asian countries have went to war in the past, like, 50 years or so.
Yeah.
And one of them is having internal war right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
yeah.
What happens 50 years later? No one knows. Maybe there will be more wars. Hopefully, there will be less wars. But in terms of war, then, how the hell is Singapore going to adapt, right? You don't know. But at least in Indonesia, let's say Southeast Asia actually goes to war, because Indonesia has a lot of natural resources available, which means that, in theory, we can be self-sufficient. I mean, like, Indonesia has achieved self-sufficiency in some areas at some different points of time. It's just that somewhere along the line, government policies made some of these things no longer possible, maybe due to export laws, land use, or just general economic infeasibility. But at least we can produce something for our own without having to rely on other countries. So even if Indonesia goes to war, right, we still have something for the local people. Mm-hmm. We don't have to rely on anyone else. And that's not the case with Singapore.
Yeah. See, guys, like, this is why I say Giovanni is a bright dude. See the difference in our views? I say in 50 years, I want to stay in Indonesia because it's santuy. It's chill. But for him, he brings in all this economic, political, stability nonsense. Who thinks about this kind of thing? Only geniuses think about this kind of thing, Joe. I just want a chill life, you know. Just want to live by the farm, picking, I don't know, walking in the paddy field and all that. But you think about political stability, sustainability, having our own resources and all that. It didn't even come to mind, you know? Wow. I thought, yes, Giovanni is damn smart.
No, you lah. But I'm curious though, how did you not think about this kind of stuff in the first place? Now I'm curious.
Like, why do I not think about, oh my god, Indonesia is gonna go to war with Malaysia? Why do I not think about
I mean, like, we did go to war with Malaysia.
Like, so you're asking me why am I not worrying about this kind of thing?
Yeah, why are you not worrying?
The simple
about...
answer is because I'm dumb, Gio. The simple answer is that.
Oh, is it because you're santui?
Yeah, because I'm santui. At heart, I'm Indonesian AF.
Fair. But I think, right, if you want to be in a farm, mm-hmm. you can be in Northwest Singapore, what?
True. It's not sustainable if I do that in Singapore. I can work all the way until I'm like 45, then go back to Indonesia.
Then be rich in Indonesia.
Yeah. Yeah, see? My brain is very simple. I don't think much. I don't use it much, honestly. Sorry, guys. This is why I admire Giovanni. You see, when we were inside the womb together that time, because we were twins, right? You took all the brain and you left none for me. That's why we're like this now.
Agatha, you cannot say this when your cap is higher than mine, okay?
Cap is just cap. It doesn't matter.
I mean, like, I guess when we were in the womb, you took all the exam skills from
me. Yeah, yeah. But you took the brain. Damn it. But yeah, you see, guys, it's so refreshing to see people like Giovanni who actually, maybe it's just me, maybe the rest of the world actually thinks about this kind of things. Maybe it's just me.
I mean, like, I do know people who think of it and I know people who do not think of it. It's just who you are as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, so people like me don't think about this kind of things. Yeah, and it's refreshing to see people like Giovanni who actually thinks about this kind of things. Like, all of you listening to this podcast right now, are you expecting a war within Southeast Asia in the next 50 years? Touch your heart and tell me whether you actually believe there's going to be a war in the next 50 years.
If you're on Spotify, you can also participate on the poll. You should see it once you click on this episode, okay?
Because to be honest, I'm not anticipating a war. I'm just hoping that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I also hope it doesn't happen. But it's happening right now. There's literally an internal war in Southeast Asia right now.
I think I'm just ignorant. Or like, ignorance is bliss. So if you ignore, it won't happen.
It's true.
Yeah.
Your tuition fee also will not happen one.
Yeah, it won't happen. Okay, now, since a lot of people know about your activities in Yusuf and all that, right? You're involved in a lot of things. Then, can you tell us more about things that you do outside of Yusuf? Specifically, I want to ask about your involvement in the Angklung CCA as the lead conductor, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're so ups, are you? Lead conductor.
Thank you. Wow.
So how did it happen?
One day in May, NUSCAC Angklung Ensemble sent a form.
Wait, can you tell the audience what Angklung is? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of Singaporeans... actually, I don't know.
I think a lot of Singaporeans know what Angklung is, but maybe for the rest of the audiences, Angklung is an instrument from West Java in Indonesia. It's made of bamboo and it's played by shaking.
So how does it sound like?
If you're Gio, please put a link to an Angklung performance after this. Oh, thank man. You very much. Hey listeners, please click on that link. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so how did it happen?
I was a member there. Then around May, they sent out a message saying, hey guys, if you want to be an exco in NUS Angklung Ensemble, please fill up this form. Then I, on the way, I filled it up. I just put my name. What role you want? Lead conductor. And then I didn't think of it until in June the election came. And somehow I got the role. It was like kind of a vote of confidence because there were only two candidates and it's a position for two people. Mm-hmm. Then I got over the threshold, so I became one of the lead conductors.
Yeah. But what projects have you done as a lead conductor? Or like what performances? Concerts?
Honestly, right? As one of the lead conductors, I feel like my role is more of arranging because the other lead conductor is actually more ups in conducting than I am. So what I did was more of arranging the song. And at one point, we need to record audio and stuff. So I set up the equipment, record for them, then after that I edit because that's my experience. Performance wise, the only public performance I've had was during Cactus. That was a few weeks ago. So Cactus is an event held by NUS Cultural Activities Club or CAC. And because this NUS Angkor Ensemble is under CAC, so we have to perform something in there. So I conducted a medley of 12 Murong 5 songs that
damn.
I arranged with the other lead conductor. And if you've watched Cactus, there are two items that we Angklung performed. The other item is a medley of 5 Indonesian songs, one from each major island of Indonesia that, well, we both arranged, but it's not us who conducted, it was some other student. Hey Hera, I want to give you a shout out. You were a good conductor. I wish I'm as good as you.
Woohoo! So, any challenges you face?
A lot. I think it's just mostly managing between the different chains of command. Mm. Because as a lead conductor, my role is mostly technical, but the administrative stuff are handled by the president and vice president. So, whatever we do, then we need to go through them to ensure that, well, the administrative side of it is taken care of. And teaching is quite a huge challenge also, because this ensemble is open to beginners. Even during the auditions, there's not much questions about musical experience. We were just looking for people to come join. Because, you know, that's how Angklung works. We need lots of people. And Angklung started off as like just some instruments that people should find easy to play even with no musical experience. So I think that's what the ensemble had in mind. So we need to work with that. We need to work with people who doesn't know what, let's say, upbeat or downbeat is. And even after they know, the same people, sometimes they cannot clap on upbeat or downbeat properly, cannot understand rhythm and so on. So
yeah, but these people do not have musical background.
Exactly.
Right?
Because they don't have musical background, then it's a bit of a challenge for them also, and also for us to teach, right?
Mm.
It's a chance for both of us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, considering your role is conductor, right?
Yeah.
You're not like a private teacher teaching people rhythm. You're a group teacher teaching like 20-something students. A few of them did not catch when they're supposed to play. Then it's a bit messy, right?
Yeah. It's one person to one note, right?
It's one person to a few notes, but each angklung can only do one. So if you want to do multiple notes, then you hold multiple angklungs.
Mm, so that's even more... I was in angklung in primary school, so I kind of understand how confusing it might be.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though there was only like 5 of us because there's only like 20 people in the school.
Damn. But yeah, I mean, like, the thing about conducting or playing songs as a group, right, is if someone plays a bit slower or a bit off, then everyone will continue a bit off also because they follow the last person. Because that's how it works. You listen out and then you start playing your part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as a conductor, it's a bit confusing because, like, oh, damn, you know, this song is getting messed up. Like, my internal counting is now off, right?
Yeah.
Compared to their playing.
Mm.
Then now, who do I follow? So sometimes I stop them, try to tell them, oh, you are off. It's supposed to be like this. Then restart. Until, well, everyone concerned gets the rhythm. And, well, it can get quite repetitive. And I think last but not least is arranging. Arranging song, I mean, I've experienced before, but arranging for an Angklung ensemble isn't really something I've done before. And all I know were the arrangements that my previous lead conductors made when I was just a regular conductor. Then I start trying to learn what can be done, how can we divide this. I learn all those stuff from the other lead conductor who is much more experienced than me at this kind of stuff. It's quite a challenge to see how do we make do with the amount of people we have. Sometimes I think of random complicated voicings and then we realize that, oh damn, we need to scale down a bit. or sometimes I make some rhythm, then like the other lecturer is like, hey, this is going to be a bit hard to teach. So all these kind of tweaks to make life a bit easier, these are stuff that I need to learn, because like, when I arrange, like, I generally just think of what sounds good. So it's a bit different when you have this kind of target audience. Like, no offense to the Akron participants, like, you're great for people who mostly do not have music experience. It's just, it's just me, okay?
No, don't say
it's
that.
It's me, I'm the problem.
No, don't say that. I'm pretty sure at the end of the day, it was, it's very satisfying and rewarding when
everyone
can put together a performance, right?
Yeah, of course.
Stupid question, but does the conductor set the beat, set the rhythm for people? So people follow the conductor, is it?
Yeah, that's how all conductors work.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it's really nice as well. Even though like people don't have musical background and all that, right? It's nice that they have an opportunity, or like a taste of what music is like.
Yeah, and get to learn a new instrument for quite a lot of the people also.
Yeah, so it's nice that you give them this opportunity to learn as well.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I tried.
Teach them about rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Learning from the best, guys. Okay, can I be an angklung also?
Yeah, come then lah. Next academic year, when we open registration, I will send you.
What's the commitment like? I just have to shake the thing, right?
Yeah, you have to shake the thing. It's 2 hour prep once per week.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
I think 2.5 hours closer to the performance.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Come to it.
You can make an advertisement for people to join Angklung. Non-Indonesians can join also, right?
Yeah. We are a 90% Indonesian CCA, down from 95% Indonesian last academic year.
Ooh. Inclusive.
Yeah. Hey, listeners of my new podcast, if you are currently a National University of Singapore, or you are a prospective student of National University of Singapore, and you do not know what to do on Monday and Wednesday evenings, you can always join NUS CAC Angklung Ensemble. I mean, it will not be called NUS CAC Angklung Ensemble next academic year, because CAC will no longer exist. But join NUS Angklung Ensemble. We can transform you from a non-musician to a musician only in 24 hours of practice.
Woo! For free.
For free.
For free.
And you get to perform on a stage that is 11.5 meters wide and 14... No, never mind. That's the wrong dimension. Let me check. I should have this detail somewhere in one of the Angklung groups.
Is this crucial information that people need to know so that they'll be enticed to join?
Indeed.
Otherwise, they would not. If the dimensions are wrong, they wouldn't want to join Angklung.
You get to perform on a stage that's 13 meters wide and 7 meters deep.
So big!
Woo! And not just that, the stage is facing an audience of 1,600... Oh, damn it, I need to find it also.
You can just aga-aga.
I was about to aga-aga, then I realized that I need to say a specific number, because why not?
Okay.
And your stage will be facing an audience of up to 1,607.
Ooh, so many! Ooh. So many! So many people!
Did you know? That's around 1/6 of the entire NUS freshman population. So if you want to be watched by 1/6 of NUS freshman population, come join NUS Angklung Ensemble and invite all the freshies in NUS to come watch. And watch the tickets go sold out in 1 minute, because all the freshies of NUS will soon over you.
Amazing. 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 So guys, y'all know what to do. Y'all must join Angklung. See you there.
Yes. And by the way, you can also follow NUS Angklung Ensemble on Instagram at NUS Angklung. Let's get our account to 400 million followers. Thank you very much.
Ambitious. But I like. So other than Angklung, what else do you do outside of hall?
Does eating at Supper Stretch count?
Okay, sure. What's your favorite store at Supper Stretch?
Fong Seng.
What?
Why? Is it a wrong answer? Is it culturally inappropriate?
Yes, it is.
Oh no.
Okay. I give another chance. What's your favorite store in Supper Stretch? I give you another chance. Okay, man. I think you really like Fong Seng, so it's okay. I'll accept that.
Thanks. I just like it because it's cheap, honestly.
Honestly, that's true. And it's filling.
Yep.
It's a good meal always. Okay. So, Gio, just for a small closing segment for today. Since we're gonna go to our final year next year, right? Uh-huh. What are your plans, you know, final year of university before entering adulthood and work life and all that? So what do you aim to achieve before you graduate? Doesn't have to be like it can literally be like, I just wanna sleep, like make more friends.
I don't know, man.
Honestly, you asked me the same question, I also don't know how to answer. So I don't know why I asked me this question.
It's fine. I've asked questions that I don't know the answers to also. And just precisely because you want to know what the other person thinks, right?
Right, yeah, that's
true. Which is the point of making an entire podcast out of this.
Yeah. Maybe we can discuss then. Maybe we can find out the answer together.
Yes. Maybe if we host a podcast together, we can figure out some answers together.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe we should start asking people who have actually graduated to come back to my new podcast and explain to us what they do after they graduate. Or maybe, you know Arya, right?
Yes. Oh my god, shout out to Arya. He's a solid guy.
Yeah, Arya. Shout out to you. You are a great lead conductor. You are a great vice president of PNUS. And you're a great guy in general.
And he's a great employee of Shell.
Oh yeah, and he's also a great employee of NUS.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah. Hey, Arya, if you're listening to this, I would like to formally invite you to return to my new podcast with a proper recording. Thank you very much. Maybe if we ask Arya, we'll get more insights on what to do after uni.
Honestly, I literally had a 3-hour conversation with him about this. And he's really a solid lad, really.
Yeah, he is.
He made me wake up my idea, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, but my own answer, I don't know, man. I think my last year, I will get busy. That's for sure.
Is it? Because usually, okay, to put it simply, your answer can either be enjoy the rest. Like, it's the final year of you to have fun, you know. It's either you enjoy or you grind so that you have a good jump start.
Yeah. I guess I have no choice but to grind. As in, I need to grind for my work. Because that's literally the point of industrial attachment. What if I get a U, right?
There's no way. And honestly, when you go to Shell, like, I literally had a conversation with my supervisor today. And it's really nice to hear them say that actually you come to internship is for you to learn. Even though it'll be nice if we can deliver and perform very well and add value to the company or whatever. But then at the end of the day, what they prioritize is our learning. So sometimes, like, we're just mere interns, right? How much can we do, honestly? we're literally quite useless sometimes. So, for example, like, I'm given a task. At the end of the day, my supervisors will have to check through the task for me again. So it's essentially doing double the work when they could have just done it themselves. So it's really for our own learning. So don't need to worry. You'll never fail. You'll never fail internship. They're always there to help you. Especially Shell. Shout out to Shell, really. Shell is goated.
Would you like to shout out your supervisor too?
Oh my god, my supervisor. Hi, Jack. I don't think he'll be listening to this podcast, but thank you so much for always guiding me for the past 2.5 months, you know. I disturb him every day and he never minds. And he's such a patient guy. So
oh,
shout
that's
out
cute.
To you.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, shout out to you. I wish I can meet you too when I go to Shell.
Even Arya knows who Jack is.
Okay, that's good to hear. Maybe I'll meet Jack.
Yeah, maybe you'll work with Jack.
Let's see about that.
Really kind man. Yeah.
Okay. I will be prepared for this.
Yeah. But honestly, then maybe it's not really about grinding in your final year.
I don't know. Funday design project, I'm supposed to grind, right?
Yes. But I also had this conversation with Arya where he said, like, it's your final sem already and you probably have a job by then already.
Yeah. That's so what he told me also.
Yeah, so why would it matter?
But I mean, I've heard people in your phone now saying that, yeah, you know what, I'm going to chill. Anyway, it's my last sem. My cap won't change either way. Mm-hmm. So let's see how it goes. Let's see if my cap is good enough. At least I want to go out with something I'm satisfied with.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
And let's see how it goes. Let's see if even I get to stay in Yusof. If I get to stay in Yusof, I still want to play music in Yusof.
Yeah.
But I don't know which CC I will go to. Maybe I'll get accepted to AKA if I learn how to sing from now.
You can beatbox.
Wow, I cannot beatbox. Adam always puts me to shame. Hey Adam, shout out to you. You're a great beatboxer, you're a great singer, and you're just a great human in general. Have fun with your exchange.
Hi Adam. We miss you.
We miss you too. On behalf of Retro Jello and the Overlaps and your soft band.
On behalf of Blue Cheese Prata, we miss you. I can't wait to sing She Was Mine for the millionth time. Okay. So what's the conclusion? What's the conclusion for that final question? What are you going to do with your final year? So you're going to grind, is it?
I will grind until I'm satisfied with my academics. But outside of academics, maybe I will enjoy. And by enjoy, that's why I say I just want to do music stuff. Just one. Mm-hmm. Don't want to do too much. Because I know grinding is hard.
Yeah.
But enjoying is easy. And so is sleeping. Sleeping is what I enjoy also.
Yeah. You know, that's what I notice about you, Jiro. You always enjoy things. You're always enjoying something throughout the sem. I never see you stressed, you know. I've never seen you break down or stress about anything.
Maybe because if I break down, it's in private.
Maybe. But you just seem like a chill person all around the year.
I guess, yeah, I am kind of chill. Because I try not to stress out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We should learn to be more like Giovanni.
Wow. But we should also learn to be like more like Agatha. Can ace all the exams. Can get high cap.
I don't, guys. I don't. I actually don't.
Cap.
But I'm dumb.
No, you're not. Stop it, lah.
Okay. So
I like how we're not even doing the Yuzo Zebri rivalries. Yeah.
We don't. Yeah, we kind of chill like that, you know?
Yeah.
We fought enough inside the womb. So it's fine now.
We win already la, in the womb.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who won. I remember beating you up, honestly.
In the womb?
Yeah, in the womb.
Oh, wow. I remember beating you up though.
Okay. We'll see. Settle now.
Not tomorrow, 4 p.m.
Okay. Sure. Well, guys, that's all the time that we have for today. I'm sleepy because I woke up at 6 a.m. in the morning to travel all the way to Pulau Bukom and back here. So if you guys have more questions about Giovanni, please drop me a DM or telegram me. Then maybe we can make a second episode of Giovanni. We can talk about, I don't know, more about his life outside of school and more about his music stuff, maybe anything that you guys are interested in. So
would you like to plug your telly?
you'll find a way. If you find me, you find me.
Okay, guys. Guessing game is on.
Yes. Y'all know my name. Now you just need to guess my tele handle. Or you can always send to Giovanni. You can always tell Giovanni, I want to know this about you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You can always DM me on my Instagram at mynewpod_. Or just leave a comment on the post. Then I will look at it. And maybe I will answer your questions if I think it's interesting enough. Yes?
Yes. Interesting questions for an interesting person like Giovanni. Okay. Thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. And thank you Giovanni for being so cooperative and answering all my nonsense questions.
No problem.
Thank you for bearing with me for the past 1 hour. See you again in my newer podcast episode.